David's a good guy. He likes to kid around. I got a sense of humor. God gave it to me. I can't help it. If you don't like that, just you probably won't fit in here very well. And some people don't, and they didn't. they didn't do that. Going to be in Romans chapter 8. A few weeks back, I preached on the power of the blood. Then I preached on the power of the word. And then last week, I started preaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I told you I wouldn't get done, and I didn't. And now I'm on part two, and I'm pretty sure we're going to also have a part three. Get you the rest of that next week. We can get that in there. But, you know, all these topics, listen, you can't exhaust the Bible. You couldn't exhaust. I mean, I didn't exhaust the power of the blood. And I didn't exhaust the power of the Word of God. We're not going to do that. But we're not going to exhaust this one either. But let me give you some stuff. I gave you a few things. I'll give you a recap in just a second. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's a great verse right there. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight. And I pray now that we can get our mind on you, Lord, and on your word tonight. Get our distractions away, put them away, keep Satan off us, Lord, that we can hear from you tonight through the preaching of your word. And I just pray we'll be encouraged through this. Those of us that are saved, and again, and as always, if there's somebody not saved here tonight, tonight will be the night they do trust you, and we'll ask for that as well. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the faithfulness of these folks here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The power of the Holy Spirit, part two. Last week I had started preaching about this, and I talked about the power of the Spirit to reveal Christ, to convict of sin. The power of the Spirit to renew, the power of the Spirit to give freedom. We looked at all those topics right there, and I'm kind of going to continue on with this picture. And we look at Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, 6, 7, and 8 kind of really go together, kind of lead you along a path. And when you get to Romans chapter 8, this is really a picture of the true Christian life. I sort of talked about that this morning. Really, it kind of went along a good companion message for this here. The revolutionary faith is what I spoke about. It's a revolution in a person's life when they really get saved, and this would go very well with that. This is a picture of the true Christian life, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be an extraordinary thing that we're walking in the power of the Spirit, that it happens once in a blue moon. This is how it's supposed to be all the time, that the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us. Romans 8, verse 9, if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. So we have the Holy Spirit. And so if the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us, we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every second of every day. And God intended for us really to do that. It's a possible thing. Let me tell you what, I think this is possible. It's a possibility. And I'm going to tell you what, this is what God expects us to do. This is how God expects us to live. All of Christ's life on earth, when he lived his life, I mean, he could have just come to earth today and got crucified tomorrow to pay for our sins, if that's all he wanted to do. But he lived, and he grew up as a man, and he ministered really for like three and a half years. He was showing us how to live as God intended a man to live on this earth, and everything he did in dependence of God the Father. And so that's exactly, how did he answer Satan? You know, it is written, it is written. So what do we got? We got the Word of God right here. That's why I told you your homework project for the last several weeks is read your Bible. How about that? Read your Bible. And if you're already reading your Bible, if you read it once a day, read it twice a day. See if it don't transform your life. It's not a magical thing. It's just how the Word of God works if we apply it to our life, of course, not just reading the Word of God. And so, you know, God expects this. Now, the flesh is still in us, but we are not in the flesh. According to the verses I read right there. The flesh is in us, but we are not in the flesh. We don't have to be in the flesh. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit didn't say, and you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or perhaps you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible tells if we walk in the Spirit, you shall not. You shall not. That's a definite statement. Fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so listen, we can, according to the Word of God, we can have daily, hourly, constant victory over the flesh and sin if we just walk in the Spirit. All it is a surrendering of your life. The Holy Spirit's leading us. Sometimes we pray the dumbest prayers. We ask God to do things that he's already doing. Lord, lead us. And I know the Lord's probably up there thinking, what do you think I've been trying to do? What do you think I've been doing 24 hours a day ever since you got saved? I've been trying to lead you. We don't have to ask God to do that. We just got to follow the leading that he already gives us, right? So, you know, we see that the victory, listen, the victory is not in ourself. It's in the Holy Spirit. I mean, not in ourself in the sense in our power. It's not in us. All we have to do is give up all self-effort and believe in the divine power that the Bible tells us that we already have. You know, everybody bobs their head up and down, then you shouldn't have any problem, right? We shouldn't have any problem. Walk in the Spirit. It's an easy thing to do. So we got some more things to add on, to tack on to what the power of the Holy Spirit does. Like I said, I gave you those already. You know, reveals, has the power to reveal Christ, convict of sin, renew, and give freedom. And the next thing, the Holy Spirit has the power to strengthen us, the believer, to strengthen the believer. Boy, I like the last verse. I didn't talk to Paul about what songs to pick. He just picked them out. But we're singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness. One of the last, next to the last verses or stanzas, or last stanza talked about that, to strengthen, to give us strength. A great song to go right along with this. Ephesians 3:16. The Bible says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Huh, this is where the power's at, real. I said this morning, I tell you this, God deals with the will. God deals with our will. We talk about, well, you know, God deals with the heart. And all that's connected pretty close. But God, what does God have to deal with now? He deals with our will. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, which meant as a human, fully man and fully God, that he had a will that was a little different than the Father's will. But he said, if it's possible that this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will. So that means his will, but thy will be done. Amen. Now, you know, it's hard to wrap your head around that, really, that he had a different will than God the Father, even though seeing that he's God in the flesh, and, you know, but that's what he said. That's what he said. He said, not my will. So we know that this power is in the inner man, and then the inner man, God is dealing with our will. We're already saved. If you know, if you are saved, I mean, you're already, the people that are saved. and so we're not dealing with salvation. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with that self, that flesh that wants to do something contrary to God. And so God has to constantly deal with our will, right? This is what he's doing. I wondered about this. I don't know what, you know, if you had one of those graphs, a chart, what percentage of the time do we naturally want to do God's will? You know, I mean, how often is our will contrary to God's will? It might be more than 50% of the time, you know, in a way. Not only, it doesn't even have to be in a sinful thing. It doesn't mean, well, I'm thinking about sinning more that much. But it just means that I might have an agenda and a will right here, but God's got another will that he wants me to do. Now, here's where the thing comes in. The battle comes in, right? Our will and his will, and God's dealing with us. He's leading us a certain way. A surrendered life, a surrendered man may still feel the pull of the flesh, the pull of the will to do, what he desires as a person, even though it may not be a sinful thing. But then the surrendered life says, yeah, but not my will, but God will be done, and I follow the leading of God. Now, that's a surrendered life. Now you're walking in the power. You're walking in the power of the Spirit. Even though if we go contrary to God's will, even though it might not be a sinful thing, we still can't be walking in the power of the Spirit because we are grieving the Spirit by going against the will that God has. He might have another direction for us. See what I'm saying? So how often do we not, we'd say, well, I don't feel like I'm walking in the power of the Spirit. Well, maybe you're not following the leading of the Spirit. Even though, and I'm not, like I say, not even as looking at it as in sinful things, although not listening to God is a sinful thing, but I mean in the will to do something that, you know, maybe, look, we're not all filled up here tonight, and some of them people were here this morning. Maybe God was leading them to be here tonight, but their will, they said, well, you know, I got my own agenda. I got something else I want to do. Huh? Why would we have a church service and God not lead somebody to it? You think about that. Okay, how often? So that happen very often? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When is the last time you remember everybody that belongs to Valley View Baptist Church here at the same time? I can't never remember it. No, there ain't no homecoming. Nothing. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. I'm just saying. But there, I know things come up that you can't help sometimes, but you have to take care of it. But what I'm saying is this is where God is dealing with us on this power in the inner man. The results of that are seen in Ephesians chapter 3, 17 through 19, and I'll read what he tells you. It says, in Ephesians 3:16, he said, I read to you that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The results are in 3:17 through 19, rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend the breadth, length, depth, height of his love, and be filled with it, be filled with the fullness of God. Now that's the results of being strengthened from the inner man. Now, that's strength and power right there. When you've got that, you're walking in this power. It's not merely, listen, power is not a separate thing from Christ himself. He's not sitting here and say, hey, I'm going to give you some power. Here it is. You know, catch all you got. No, it's him himself. It's not merely giving us victory over sin, but it's Christ. It's not a power just giving us victory over sin. It's Christ dwelling in our hearts, giving us victory over sin. He's the power. He doesn't give things apart from himself. He's it. I've given you some of that before with, Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit. And it's not apart from himself. He just gives you himself, gives us himself. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit has the power to lead us into a holy life, a God-like life. All we have to do is surrender to the leading. I mean, we can be going in the right direction, anywhere. We can be on the right path, but we can get off the path a little bit, and then we're not going towards that. So we go in and out off that. Now, Romans 8:16, I didn't read that text. But 8:16 says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see that? The Spirit that bears witness. Notice what it doesn't say. It didn't say the Spirit itself bear witness to our spirit, but the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's bearing with us. Now, here's the order of how the Spirit works, and I'm going to add a couple of words. I'm not really adding to the Bible, this is going to fit right along. Here's the order of how the Spirit works. If you take verse 2, it'll start like this. I'm going to add two words. I'm going to add only when. In verse 8:2, only when the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, only when that's done, so that, in verse 4, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then go to verse 13. Only when ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But only when, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And when, verse 14, are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then we have the assurance in verse 16, when all these other things have been accomplished, and we've trusted that, believed that, in verse 16, and the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, that's it. You don't have, the Spirit is not bearing witness with us when we are not following the leading of the Spirit. I'm going to say this simpler. If we're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't feel the presence of God in my life. Well, maybe he's going one way and you're going another. Huh? You don't feel that, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's it. Listen, how, you know, people say, well, you know, how can a person out of God's will, in whatever level that may be, could be falling out into sin, falling away from, you know, the fellowship of the church, and falling away from reading their Bible, praying. And I'm not saying, and people that are saved can do that, I don't think for very long. But how can that person say, well, boy, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness that I'm with my spirit that I'm saved. That's what it said, that we are the children of God. That person doesn't have, if they have any confidence that they're saved, that's not coming from God, right? I mean, I think, you know, this is what I think. Like I said, there's a two-edged sword. I used to always say this. I think Satan can make you doubt your salvation. Well, let me tell you something. Satan will never make a true believer or a lost person. He'll never make a lost person doubt his salvation if you're lost. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he want you? He doesn't want you to get saved. He wants a lost person to think everything's okay. Would he make a believer doubt his salvation? Well, if he was truly saved, you know we can't lose our salvation, but he'd make a believer. Why would he make a believer doubt their salvation? Boy, because he can't get nothing out of them. I don't even know that Satan would make a believer doubt it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because if a believer doubts it, the only way a believer doubts it is if he's not walking in the Spirit, if he's not surrendered to the Spirit. That's the person that's not confident. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Why? Because you're not living like it, right? Well, Satan wants you to stay that way, so why would he make you doubt? I don't think he's going to make you doubt that. It'd only have to be God. It would have to be God. Satan wouldn't do that. He'd be fighting against himself. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Why would he do that? For either side. He's not going to make a lost person doubt or think that they're not saved or everything's okay. And why would he even make a saved person think that? You know, because then they're going to try to get right with God. He don't want anybody getting right with God. Think about that for a little bit. And so, assurance. When we are saved and we're walking in the Spirit and we're, you know, he's not looking for perfection here, although we could have it, but he's not looking for that. I'm just saying when we're walking in the Spirit, we're following the leading of God. Our spirit and God's spirit testify with each other that we're the children of God. You know, we don't have to doubt that. Like I said, Satan's not going to make you doubt that anyway. The second thing, or the first thing is the Spirit strengthens the believer. That strengthens the believer. I skipped something. The second thing was the Spirit guides the life. And then I read Romans 8:14. As many as, I didn't read it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that's, I skipped a part of my point and got on the bottom of it. The Holy Spirit has the power to lead us into a holy life and a godlike life. I did say that, and then I read you this other thing. So this is the, you know, the power to, he guides it. I mean, the Holy Spirit's always guiding us. I said a while ago, crazy prayer to ask. You know, Lord, lead us. He is leading us. He's always leading. He guides us. All you have to do is listen. You have to listen. We've got the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Huh? We've got him leading us in that direction. He'll lead us the right way. And there's always, man, there's some, you know, we can think, man, there's things that God can just lead us. You know, you wouldn't believe. The other day, maybe I shared it with you, maybe I didn't, I couldn't tell. But anyway, I went to buy a computer, man. I needed a new laptop. The laptop's all messed up. Did I share that with you already? Well, you know how my memory is. I needed a laptop, man. And I thought, well, I got down to Vinton Computer. They got used computers. Good night, man. That guy was going to stick me. I probably shouldn't have said it on Facebook. But anyway, I was just all flustered, man. I said, all right, whatever. You know, you got to have one. So I gave the guy, it was a pretty good amount of money. credit card. And I started driving down the road, and man, my spirit was not settled, man. I was just like, I didn't get all the way back out to 460. And I said, nah, man, something told me to pull over. I pulled over, man. I looked up something on my phone. Man, I said, no, I went blowing back there. My spirit was not at peace with it. I mean, I had the money. It was all, you know, and all that. I went in there and said, hey, man, I'm not going to do this deal. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Get my money back. That was kind of a hassle, too. Got all confused. But anyhow, I was riding along, and I said, man, I don't need a computer as expensive as that. I'm going to go to Best Buy. So I called Damien, grandson, and he didn't answer. And I just told him, hey, Damien, look, I'm going to see about getting another computer down here at Best Buy, and can you transfer my stuff? You know, you got to have a teenager to do this. At my age, you can't do it. I said, can you shift my stuff from my laptop to the other one? And so I waited. Right when I got to Best Buy, I getting out of the truck, he called. Yeah, he goes, yeah, I can shift it. He goes, you know, I got two laptops under my bed. He said, I'll just give you one of them. Got them when he was at BTEC, and they gave them things away. He said, all we got to do is buy a hard drive for it. I said, all right, man, you shoot me a picture of what I got to buy. And, man, I went down there. He had a Dell, man. I ordered the other computer was $900-and-some dollars I was going to buy. I bought a hard drive for $63, $64, and my mouse was kind of crummy, too, so I got another mouse. And Damien come up there. Boy, we put that bad boy in there, transferred everything over there. See, simple thing. We say, well, that's kind of silly. No, it isn't silly. Listen, God doesn't just lead us in the big things in life. He leads us in all these things in life. And I told my wife, I said, look at all that money that I can spend on deer heads and bear heads and stuff. When I go, I said, what am I going to spend all that money on now? I'll save $960-some dollars. Huh? Colorado's coming, brother. I mean, man, I'm going to be down. Huh? I said, you know what? I mean, boy, God is good, right? God is good all the time. That's it. See, so there was a leading right there. But my spirit, it was really something in me. It was internal. My spirit wasn't settled. And, man, I said, no. I went in there, man, and I told him. I said, nah, we got to do it. Cancel that deal, man. We did. So, anyhow, but that's just a small little thing. But, listen, God leads us in them little things in life. He leads us in big things, safety and all that. But just little minor things like that, if you just listen to God, just listen to God. I probably should have had a prayer meeting before I went in there. I wouldn't have got that far into the deal right there. But, you know, we're hard-headed sometimes. The second thing, a third thing, the Holy Spirit gives us Christ-likeness. Galatians 5:22-23, the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I've preached that to you before. Fruit is singular, not fruits, even though it's the plurality of those things. But it's singular. What is it? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the character of the Holy Spirit. He bears it, not us. We don't bear the fruit. The Holy Spirit bears it in us. It comes out of us, but it's not us. See, it's you know, because, you know, if somebody doesn't get what I'm saying, well, they look at that, well, I'm saved and I got the Spirit and here's the fruit of the Spirit. Boy, I got to go out there now and I've got to drum it up. You know, I got to show love and joy and peace. And I got to have all that. No, you don't. You just surrender and the Holy Spirit does it through you. This is what's going to happen. It's a result. Galatians 5:22-23. And the fruit, and you know, he bears it. It's not the natural life. This isn't a natural life. It's a supernatural life. This comes from the Holy Spirit of God, not us. See, it's all him. It's all him doing that. All we got to do is surrender. It's easy to surrender. Fighting is hard, right? Fighting, you know, when people got tired of fighting, boy, they laid down their weapons, they waved the white flag. That's all you got to do with God. Get tired, quit fighting him and just lay down the white weapons and wave the white flag. Holy Spirit in full control. The reality is also, you know, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lived within me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There it is. I mean, that's the same thing. It's not I, but Christ. That phrase is in there. It's not I, but Christ. Christ that lives within me. There it is. It's the Christ life. So we got Christ likeness. And you know, I don't like this The terminology sometimes in Christianity has gotten messed up a little bit. We say Christ's likeness. I'm Christ. It's likeness in the sense it's him. It's not like, I don't like, well, we need to imitate Christ. No, you don't. Imitation, we don't want imitation. We want the real thing. Huh? Transformation, not imitate. Ron Lynch, I think, preached on that. We don't imitate Christ. Christ lives through us. He lives his life out through us. It's not an imitation. It's a real thing. I remember old Tony Hudson. We went down to Shelby. You and Stanley probably went that time. We went and took a busload to Greg Irby's, and Tony Hudson was preaching down there. And he got to talking about when he went to buy milk. He was calling it the pink cap or the red cap. I want the real thing, man. I don't want the – he didn't want the – you know, whatever skim milk had, blue cap, because I want the red cap. I want the real thing, man. You know, I don't want the artificial milk. So we want the real thing. That's it. It's not imitation. So he gives us Christ-like. And listen, the flesh cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit. Can't do it. Impossible. Cannot do it. It's got to be Christ that does it. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit does, the power of the Holy Spirit, guides into truth. Into truth, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, there it is, into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. See, the Holy Spirit has the power to guide us into all truth. Now, that promise was originally given to the apostles, but they kind of applied it to all believers in 1 John chapter 2. They applied it to believers as well. We know that would be mean as well. Now, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. It doesn't mean that we don't learn from men, right? I mean, if that wasn't the case, then John and other writers wouldn't have written the Bible, right? they wrote it down so we could learn, right? So we wouldn't learn from them. Doesn't mean we don't learn from others that are being led by the Spirit. That's the key right there. But God, through the Holy Spirit's teaching, you know, God leads us to truth through the Holy Spirit's teaching. Well, where does he lead us? Well, he leads us to the Word of God. Here it is. He leads us to the Word. This is the truth. So what happens there? The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding. The Bible, I think I read it already, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. And he, you know, he can't discern the Spirit. This enlightenment, spoke about that this morning. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit enlightens us to the truth of God's Word. And so sometimes it's like this. It probably doesn't happen all in one day and all over 1 hour and, you know, over time. But how many of us have read a verse of Scripture in the Bible and we might have read it 100 times, but then one day you read it, that old light bulb goes on, and it's like, man. And then here's another thing that I've had happen now as long as I've been saved and pastoring. You know, the light bulb comes on. Then one day I read it again, and guess what? The light bulb comes on again, and God's saying, guess what, son? You didn't see everything that's in that right there. And then one day the light bulb comes on again, and that's why, you know, y'all get some preaching on the same text over and over and over again, because, man, it's like, you know, you can't exhaust it. It's like there's something else. There's something God is showing to us, and this is the key thing, and it comes, that understanding there is coming from God. Into all truth, it says, that's it. Now, like I say, we're not going to get it all in one day, not all in a week or a year, but, you know, one step at a time, God starts leading us. I remember one time I had a question. There was a verse in the Bible that I knew that it looked kind of like, it was almost like showing works, or that maybe you could lose your salvation. I said, I knew it's not right. I laid down. I knew a little bit about the Bible. I mean, I've been reading the Bible. I've been studying the Bible. I laid on the floor in the bedroom, and I was laying there on it. I just started talking to God about it. Man, I mean, this verse came out in 1 John chapter 5. It hit my head, and I said, yeah, there it is. There's the answer. It's talking about the overcomers. He who overcomes, you know, like, huh? You know, it says, he who overcomes, he who overcomes. I said, well, that sounds like, well, I got to do the overcoming. But then it says, who is he that overcome the world? Huh? But he that is, does it say born again? He that is born again? I think it says that. That's how you overcome the world. I said, there's the answer I was looking for right there. God just laid it on me because I knew the Word of God, right? And so There's nobody, none of us, no preachers, nobody that can magnify Christ like the Holy Spirit. That's what it takes. Here's the thing right here, man. We go out here, and I think, you know, I've been learning this over the years. You know, we can go out. One of the greatest things we can do is magnify Christ to the lost.
Amen.
I mean, man, we can say, hey, you're a sinner, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. And the natural man, he don't understand half of that. We just magnify Christ. Let them see Christ. And when they see Christ, like I said, that'll produce, they'll see their self probably more plainly if they see Christ. But here's the thing. We can't magnify Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. If we're not full of the Holy Spirit of God, we can't convince anybody else because they can't see him. We can talk all day, but the power of the Holy Spirit's got to be in that deal right there. And so it's the Holy Spirit magnifies Christ. The fifth thing, the Holy Spirit has power to teach Christ's words, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Kind of like what I was, my illustration I just gave you about laying on the floor. He brought to my mind a verse that I had read. I knew he brought that to my mind. And so one of the reasons, why do we need to read the Word of God? Why do we need to study the Word of God? So that, well, couldn't the Holy Spirit just kind of cram something in our head without it? He could, but he doesn't operate that way. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, right? He wouldn't have to tell us that, but he told us to study. So when we have the Word of God in our mind, the Holy Spirit's the one that can bring it up at the right time. You might be talking to somebody about their soul, about salvation, man. You got to give them the Word. And once the more you study the Word and you get you a couple verses you can hang on to, and boy, the Holy Spirit will bring them up at the right time where you can. And so, you know, this is it. We need to study the Word, and the Holy Spirit will bring them to remembrance just right when we need them. And right after that verse, right after John 14:26, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, John 14:27. Well, how does Christ leave his peace? Holy Spirit and the Holy Word. This is how, when you're in a turmoil, where to go? The Word of God, huh?
Amen.
There's some soothing verse. I remember one time I was working still. I started pastoring here. I was still working at Connex down there. We were welding nuclear power plant piping. They shipped it all over the world. I was a welder for 22 years. And man, I was welding in there. And man, I worked hard, man, really. I mean, I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you, anybody that worked there, Jesse Crawford, he worked there, he'll tell you. There was guys hated my guts, man. Because they'd sit around and fiddle around and go sit on the toilet for 45 minutes till their legs went to sleep because they didn't want to do nothing and drag out. Supposed to clock out. We used to get off at 2:30 because we went in at like 6. And at 10 after 2, they're standing up there. I don't know why the boss, if I'd have been the boss, I'd have fired them. They go up to the time clock and stand there with their lunch pail at the time clock at 10 minutes after 2. Yeah. We don't get off till 2:30 waiting on the clock. Man, that's their deal, whatever they want to do. I just worked hard. I did what I had to do. Made my day go by faster if I did what I could do. I'd try to get something done, you know, for the guys. Some of them hated my guts. But anyway, we got a new big man, big wheel in there. Man, he'd cruise around out there. We'd be out there welding. He'd look at us. Wouldn't say much. You know, people don't talk much. You don't know what they're thinking. He'd be looking at you and all that. I get this word coming down the pipe, and they said, hey, Boone, man, so-and-so, they don't like you. He don't like you, man. They let a couple guys go. They said, man, you're next. You're next. I thought, oh, man. I was kind of panicky about it. I liked my job. It's a good job. Boy, man, I look. Let me see here. I'll find it for you. I hadn't even know this verse all that well. Let me lay this on you here. This is a little side lesson. I don't even have this in my notes. I'm just going to give it to you, huh? Operate without notes. Without a net. I'm operating without a net. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Man, I read that verse one morning in there, buddy, and I'm telling you what, a calm came over me and a peace, huh? And buddy, I didn't get fired. And before that job, that foreman come out there when it was all, the church called me to be the pastor. They found out about it. And when they got down there to the end, they were going to pack up and move. They weren't going to take the welders. And my foreman, in particular foreman, he said, listen, you'll be the last man here if you want to be. I'll keep you to the end. He said, if you want. And I said, look, man, I got, my church said they're going to take me on full time. And I said, let this other boy, Dave Simmons, some of you might know him, he used to live up in Eagle Rock. I said, let Dave stay, because he don't have another job yet. And I said, I got a job. I mean, it was hunting season was starting, man. I mean, it was about hunting season. Just let me go, man. I mean, you know, let me go. I'll go on full time at the church. I mean, God is good, amen. And you know what? And I went in there, and the very man, that big man, he told me, he said, I'll tell you what, man. He said, what you're going to do is a lot more important than this. That's what he told me. He said, he didn't even say it. He said, what you're going to be doing is a lot more important than this right here. Where did I get my peace, man? Right there from the Word of God, man. I was sitting at Cedar Bluff at my dining room table one day, and I read that verse right there one day. And, man, I tell you, it was just my enemies, man. It was. And he ended up not being an enemy. He was more like a friend, man. They all told me, you stay here. I said, no, I would have stayed. That was coming up in November when deer season was going to come in. I could have stayed all the way around to May. But I didn't stay, you know, even stay. I let somebody else, they had a job, and I had a job, so God took care of it. There it is. There's your peace from the Holy Word and the Holy Spirit. Another thing is he reveals mysteries, the Holy Spirit. Just back a couple, I'm going to go right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read you a couple verses. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things which also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's, I hadn't read it to you. That I knew that was coming up right there. So listen, there's the twofold work of the Spirit right there. First, the Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God that are hidden from the natural man. See, there's things that we understand or should understand as saved people that you cannot explain it to a lost person. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God to teach, and they haven't revealed this to them. Things that we have to learn as the Holy Spirit reveals it does. It doesn't make sense to them. And so that, you know, that's important. And the second thing is the Holy Spirit interprets. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit interprets his own revelation. He reveals it, but he interprets. Or he imparts the power to discern or to know and appreciate what is taught. See, I can only take you so far. The deep things, God has to do it. God has to, you know, the light bulb goes off that we talked about. We have the author and to interpret his own work. And we have to have, listen to this, we have to have more than objective revelation to the written word of God. We have to have inward illumination. I said, I think a week ago or a couple weeks ago, listen, you could take a lost man, teach him Greek, teach him Hebrew, and he could learn the Bible as it's written, even the theology as far as, but he couldn't really teach you the Word of God like it should be or could be taught. He may be able to read it and have a certain amount of understanding. You can't comprehend a spiritual revelation with a natural understanding. You have to have the Holy Spirit. And so, like I said, just because a man understands Greek and Hebrew doesn't mean he could teach the Bible either. He might not be able to, because it may be a lot of it that wouldn't make any sense. So we have to recognize the utter insufficiency of our own rights, our own worthlessness, and our own righteousness. You know, we are insufficient. We must also recognize the utter insufficiency and worthlessness of our own wisdom in comprehending the things of God. You can't get it out of books. You can't get all of it out of books. And the church has, in theory, at least recognized its insufficiency in righteousness, but it also needs to understand or recognize its insufficiency in its own wisdom, in our own wisdom. We, you know, any wisdom that we have in this relation, it comes from God and from the Holy Spirit himself. And so it's like this all throughout the Bible. Only when we put away our righteousness will we find the righteousness of God. Only when we put away our wisdom will we find the wisdom of God. And only when we put away our strength will we find the strength of God. See, you have to be emptied of, we have to empty ourselves of self to take God. Emptying always precedes filling. Can't fill a full glass. Got to empty the glass to get it full, and that's what God does. Self is poured out, Christ poured in that sense. Last little thing here, and I'll be done. Andrew Murray said this: each time you come to the Word and study, in hearing a sermon or preaching, or reading a religious book, there should be a definite act of self-relinquishment, denying your own wisdom and yielding yourself in faith to the divine teacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's part two. I've done part one, part two. You're going to get a part three on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and empowering us with that, and just for the freedom to preach and liberty to preach tonight. And we're thankful for that. We do, as mentioned already, we got a lot of folks that may be off and traveling, enjoying the holiday. Bring them back to us safe and sound. Those with their health not well, it's bad. Lord, we pray for them. Give them a touch and be with us all as we travel home here in a bit. But I pray for us, Lord, to listen most of all to how you lead us, Lord. You're speaking to our hearts. If we're saved, Lord, you speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us hear that voice. It may be a still small voice. It may not be a lightning bolt. It may not be an earthquake, but there's a still small voice that speaks to us. And we thank you for that. Help us listen to that voice. Lord, it's you. It's you leading us the right way. You always lead us into righteousness. We can understand that. Help us to realize that you speak to us all the time. And we'll commit the rest of this evening and our week ahead to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.